You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 64. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, episode 64. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On today's cafe, we're going to do a little catching up. That is, we're going to try to do some things that we are a little behind schedule on. And one of those things is to answer questions. We get lots of questions each week, more questions than we can answer on the cafe normally. So I thought I would take this cafe and the next cafe, the last two of the year, to answer lots of different questions that we get. So this is an all-question edition of the English Cafe. Let's get started. As we do on every episode, we remind you to visit our website at eslpod.com and check out the learning guide for this episode. You'll find all of the questions, words, definitions, additional sample sentences, cultural notes, and a complete transcript of this episode. Our first question today comes from Gabrielle, G-A-B-R-I-E-L, in Taiwan. Gabrielle asks the difference between the expressions "there you go" and "there you are." This is a good question because these are both very common expressions in everyday conversation. The expression "there you go" actually has a couple of different meanings. The first and probably more common one is "that's right" or "that's a good idea." For example, let's say I'm talking to a friend and I'm talking about these two beautiful girls that I met and I want to ask them both out on a date. I want to get to know them better, but I'm not sure which girl I should ask. This is a common problem for me. So I say to my friend, "I know, I have an idea. I'll ask both of them." And my friend says, "There you go," meaning that's a good idea. You've thought of the right idea. Another use of this expression, "there you go," is when you are giving something to someone, usually money, when you are buying something. For example, if you are at the coffee shop, the cafe, the real cafe, not the English cafe, and someone working there says, "That will be $500 for your Starbucks coffee." And you say, "Oh, okay." And you give them your credit card. And when you give it to them, you say, "There you go." Meaning, "Here is my money," or "Here is what I am giving you." "There you are" is usually an expression when you have found someone. You're looking for your brother at the store. You can't find him. And you walk around the whole store. Finally, you see him and you say, "There you are, you idiot. I've been..." No, you wouldn't say that. "There you are" is when you find someone. There's another expression also that is similar to "there you go" that I wanted to mention, and that is "here we go." There's a difference between there you go and here we go. We use the expression here we go when we are waiting for something that finally starts, or we are leaving or moving after waiting for a while. For example, I am talking to my two friends in a movie theater, and we're waiting for the movie to begin. And suddenly the movie starts on the screen, and I turn to my two friends and I say, "Oh, here we go," meaning we are now starting. Our next question comes from Alexander, Alexander, who is in Toronto, Canada. Alexander wants to know the difference between the words estimate and determine. Estimate, E-S-T-I-M-A-T-E, means to make a guess at something, to guess about something, usually a number or a quantity of something. So you might say, "Well, I estimate that there are 50,000 Italians living in Los Angeles. I'm guessing. I don't know. But I am going to think about it and make a reasonable, intelligent estimate." Determine is different. When you say you're going to determine, D-E-T-E-R-M-I-N-E something, you mean you're going to find out for sure. You're going to make sure that you know something is true. I need to determine the telephone number of my local cable company for cable television. I need to determine means I need to find out. I'm not going to guess. I need to know for sure. Or you could say, "I have determined after doing some investigation, some research, that my neighbor's dog is the loudest one on the planet, in the entire world." That is another use of the word determine. And that's a true statement, true story. Our next question comes from Marcus, M-A-R-K-U-S. Not sure where Marcus is from. He's from somewhere, I'm sure. Marcus wants to know the difference between the words bump, B-U-M-P, and dip, D-I-P. When we use these words as nouns, they're sort of opposite in meaning. A bump is like a small hill on a road or on a street, so that you are driving your car and you hit a bump. Maybe it's a rock or maybe it's some dirt that is higher than the rest of the street, than the rest of the road. We usually use, in fact, an expression, a bump in the road, to mean something that is slowing you down, is slowing down your progress, is making you go slower. We can use that literally, meaning actually talking about driving on the street, or if you are talking about making progress on a project, for example. The word dip is the opposite. A dip is a small hole in the road. So it's where the road goes down lower. Of course, that will also cause problems if you are driving. If you hit a dip in the road, you will or could hurt your car, damage your car. So bump and dip are opposite. Bump is a small hill or small increase in the road, and dip is a small hole or a small decrease in the road or the street or the freeway or wherever it is that you are traveling. Our next question comes from Alberto, A-L-B-E-R-T-O, in the Eternal City in Rome, Italy. Alberto wants to know the difference between the expression opposite versus in front of. When you are talking about the location of certain things, usually buildings in a city, you can use both of these expressions, and they are similar. They can mean the same things, but they are also a little bit different. To be in front of something means to be close to it, not inside of it, outside of something. You are in front of it. A building, for example, on the street is something you could be in front of. You're standing on what we would call the sidewalk, the place where you walk in front of a building in a city. Opposite is something that is in front of a building, but on the other side of the street. You could say that the bank is opposite the grocery store, meaning the bank is on one side of the street, and in front of it, but across the street, is the grocery store. When you just say in front of, it could be on the same side of the street, or it could be across the street. Either one is possible. But when you say a building is opposite another building, then it is usually across the street in front of that building. Anthony, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y, in Hong Kong, has a question about a word that he read, I believe, in the newspaper or a magazine. And the word was mudslinging. M-U-D-S-L-I-N-G-I-N-G, all one word. Mudslinging is a word that comes from two different words, mud, which is dirt that is wet, and the word sling, S-L-I-N-G, which as a verb can mean to throw, usually to throw at someone. You put these two together and you get mudslinging, which literally means to throw wet dirt at someone. But it's used instead as an expression to mean insult or say bad things about someone. You're usually saying something negative or insulting about someone in order to hurt their reputation. What people think of them is their reputation. The most common use of this expression is in a political campaign when two people are trying to win the same government office, president or senator or prime minister, whatever it is. And one of the people says something negative or insulting about the other. Often what they say is false or not true. This would be mudslinging. It is something that is, of course, found in every political election in some way or another. At least here in the United States, it's very popular for one candidate, one person trying to win the office to say negative things, insulting things, and often untrue things about the other candidate. This is why I never went into politics. Our next question comes from Pierre Edouard, P-I-E-R-R-E hyphen E-D-U-A-R-D. And as you may guess, Pierre is from the City of Lights from Paris. Pierre wants to know the difference between the words shade, S-H-A-D-E, and shadow, S-H-A-D-O-W. This is a good question. These are related words, but we use them, they are used differently to mean slightly different things. Let's start with shade. Shade is the area underneath or next to something where the sun is being blocked, where it is darker because something is in between you and the sun. So, for example, you are standing underneath a tree, and the tree is blocking the light of the sun. So it is dark where you are standing. We would say that you are standing in the shade. And that's the expression we would use, in the shade. Shade is an area that is big enough for a person to be in or partially to be in. The opposite of in the shade would be in the sun. Shadow is a more general term to refer to the dark area that's caused by anything, usually a person, who is blocking light from the sun or somewhere else. But it's not necessarily shade. For example, if I am standing outside and the sun is out, the sun is shining, usually you will cast a shadow. In other words, there will be a dark area on the ground next to you where you are blocking the sun. That would be your shadow. Usually we talk about a shadow of a person, but it could also be the shadow of a tree or a building. Now, a shadow can be shade as well. The shadow of the building could give you shade, and you could stand in it to get away from the sun. But if you are just standing out in the sun and you have your own shadow, that's probably not big enough to be shade for anyone. So those are the differences between shade and shadow. Notice the verb I used with the word shadow is cast, C-A-S-T. We say that you are casting a shadow, meaning you are producing or making a shadow because you are standing in front of a light or in front of the sun. We also use that word shade only when we are talking about the sun. We use shadow when you are talking about the sun or some light inside a building, for example. Our next question comes from Denivaldo, D-E-N-I-V-A-L-D-O, in Brazil. And Denivaldo wants to know the differences among three different words, assure, A-S-S-U-R-E, ensure, E-N-S-U-R-E, and insure, I-N-S-U-R-E. This is a good question, and it's something that even native speakers have difficulty with, often make mistakes about. Let's start with the word assure, A-S-S-U-R-E. To assure as a verb means to tell someone with confidence about something. When you are sure of something, when you know something is true, and you want to tell someone so that they believe you, so that they don't have any doubts, so that they are more confident or comfortable. This is the use of the verb assure. For example, I assure you that most tourists who come to Los Angeles don't get killed. Most of them. So when you say, I assure you, you're saying, I am promising you. I know this is a fact. I know this is true. The verb ensure, E-N-S-U-R-E, means to make sure or to make certain that something happens. To do something so that you get a certain result. For example, I will pick you up at the airport to ensure that you arrive at the meeting on time. To ensure means so that this happens, to make sure that this happens. Notice that assure, A-S-S-U-R-E, means to tell someone something you know is true. Ensure, E-N-S-U-R-E, means to make sure that something actually takes place, actually happens. Finally, we have the word ensure with an I, I-N-S-U-R-E. And this is related to the word insurance. When you have insurance, you pay money to a company in case something bad happens to your car, for example, or your house. The company will give you money to replace it. So you give the company $500 a year to insure your car. So if you get into an accident and you have this insurance, the insurance company will give you money for your car to fix it. So assure, insure with an E, insure with an I. Our final question comes from Satoru, S-A-T-O-R-U, originally from Japan, but now living here in beautiful California. Satoru wants to know the difference between the words definitely, D-E-F-I-N-I-T-E-L-Y, and exactly, E-X-A-C-T-L-Y. Definitely is the same as certainly, without a doubt. For example, it is definitely cold in Minnesota in the winter time. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. I am completely sure. This is a fact. I know because I lived there for 23 years. It is definitely cold in Minnesota in the winter time. Exactly is similar to definitely, except it means precisely. Usually this is related to a number. You're talking about the quantity or a number of something. You could say it is exactly 4:01, 1 minute after 4. Not 4:02, not 4 o'clock, not 4:01 and 30 seconds, but exactly 4:01. That's all we have time for, no less, no more, on The English Cafe. Remember, if you have a question, you can email us at ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development. Thank you.